This is FM 100.5 and 101.9. AM 1450, Rutherford County's place to talk. WGNS, Murfreesboro, your good neighbor station. Stand by, Murfreesboro. The WGNS Action Line continues a search for truth.
I know you're out there
Good morning to you. Welcome into the Action Line from WGNS. This morning we're going to be talking law and order. And if you have a question dealing with the Murfreesboro city area, as opposed to Rutherford County, we encourage your call. 893-1450 is our number. 893-1450. Murfreesboro Police Chief Glenn Crisman is with us, along with some friends. Glenn, good morning to you.
Bart, good morning. It's a pleasure to be here. It's not raining this morning like it was yesterday, quite as much. Anyway, a little mist out there, but I'm glad we got the rain, and I'm glad it's stopped raining.
And it feels like fall, too.
It absolutely does. I think the weather's going to warm up a little bit more as we go through the next few days, but fall can't be far away, I don't think. That's probably good after these temperatures we've had.
Well, we have a big football game coming up this weekend.
I'm telling you, big centennial celebration for MTSU, and I know Dr. McPhee and all of the staff over there and a lot of the people from the community and the city have worked very hard to get ready for that, and I know they're all excited about it. We are as well.
Sounds like it's going to be fun. Well, you brought a newcomer to the police department with you.
Well, I did this morning. Chief Fields is here with
me. He's not a newcomer.
He's going to help with questions or anything that might come along, but I wanted to bring over a lady to meet you. LaFonda Rudd is our new administrative assistant. Is in her first full week, I guess you could say, of working for the police department. She filled a vacancy left when Linda Stacy, who had worked with Commissioner Jones and I for so long, retired, and I just thought she might want to see the studio here and get to meet you. And
she'll leave now.
Well, I think she had one foot out the door before the air came up. Anyway, we're glad to have her. And
now, Glenn told you that you have to stay as long as Linda did, didn't he?
25 years is a long time. None of the people we interviewed, I don't think, committed for quite that length of service, but we're excited about having her with us and excited to be here this morning with
good to have you
and
here.
WGNS. It's a very special week. Obviously, we've got the commemoration of 9/11 coming, a lot of things going on across the country, a lot of things going on here in town, and so the centennial and the ball game obviously factor into that, but we can talk about some of that this morning if you like, or whatever our callers have on their minds.
And we will take those calls too. If you have a call dealing with the city of Murfreesboro, our number is 893-1450. So just feel free to give us a call. We have three folks up here who can help you with anything you have to answer. You know, any question you have, they will come up with some sort of an answer anyway.
Where were you on September the 11th, and what were you doing? You were probably sitting right here.
I was
on the
right
radio.
Here. I can remember the topic that day. And I think most people can remember what they were doing when that happened.
Mm-hmm.
The same is true when John Kennedy was killed. Or, mm-hmm. Martin Luther King, or any of those people.
That's exactly right. That morning, Commissioner Jones and I happened to be in a meeting at City Hall with the city manager, who was Mr. Haley at that time, and I never forget what he said as we watched that footage again. He said, our lives have changed forever today. They'll never be the same again. And it was prophetic in a way, because certainly that did bring a change probably to the way we all live. And that's one of the things that I think we need to talk about a little bit later on this morning is
very definitely
how we all play a part in that going forward and continuing to go forward.
And with that in mind, there will be some special activities, one on Friday morning at 10 o'clock on the Murfreesboro Square, mm-hmm. and the other one on Sunday afternoon, which is actually 9/11, mm-hmm. from 1 to 5 at the Sheriff's Office. Both of those very special events. And I know you're involved.
Well, we will be at some level in both of those, and I'm thankful to our Sheriff's Department. Of course, Sheriff Jones started that tradition after 9/11, and Sheriff Arnold is continuing it with a new addition to that process this year, and I know that our community is looking forward to the unveiling of that. I think the celebration that the Sheriff's Office does brings attention to our community and all of the people that play a part in our community, and trying to just make people appreciate, as you and I talk about so often, how very special Rutherford County is and all of the municipalities that are in our county, and how we all work together to make this a great place to live.
Very definitely. Let's go to the phones. Good morning. You're on WGNS. How are you this morning?
I'm good. How is everyone?
Everybody's fine.
Very good.
Good. I remember what I was doing when the first plane hit the towers. I was taking a nap, and then when the second plane hit, my brother was actually watching it, and he said that was no accident. So later on that afternoon, my husband worked at on the boat down in Nashville. I can't recall the name of it, but the General Jackson. Mm. And we went down to pick him up. And being raised in Nashville around the airport, going to school around the airport, there was not a single airplane in the sky. There was no sounds, and that was eerie. It was real eerie for me.
Mm-hmm.
And those are a lot of the memories I have.
Thank you for sharing those two.
That was a very strange day because you, and I don't remember what the number was now, but it was amazing the number of flights that were canceled, obviously, when they shut that airspace down. But a very different day for sure. And I think as we came out of that then and moved into, you know, this 10-year period that has followed it, I think the way that we have reacted and responded to information that has come from that occasion, and the way governmental agencies have changed. I mean, the FBI, for instance, almost retooled its whole operation after 9/11. A striking day, very memorable day for all of us.
How different did police work become? Were there dramatic changes as you compare that day in 2001 versus today?
Well, I think one of the big things that happened to law enforcement all across the nation was there immediately was an emphasis and a need to place an emphasis on this term that we that has become a staple in our vocabulary, and that was Homeland Security. In fact, in the last gubernatorial election, when the new office holders went into the Department of Safety, they now have combined that title to be the Department of Safety and Homeland Security. And of course, we had a Homeland Security Department prior to that, but and what I mentioned about with the FBI, if you remember, one of the things that came after that was an announcement by the Office of the President and the Office of the Director of the FBI that a good portion of the FBI's mission beyond that would be focused on domestic terrorism, Homeland Security, and the investigation of those kinds of things. And it shifted some of the focus away from some of the more traditional kinds of law enforcement things that the FBI did prior to that. At a local level, I think Homeland Security became more on the minds of law enforcement officials and law enforcement officers. And one of the things that we still are focusing on, and we'll talk about this a little more as the show goes on, is how you bring in our citizens for the observation of suspicious activity so that it can be reported to local law enforcement, passed on to state and federal law enforcement, so that if you perceive that there are Homeland Security threats at the local level, they get reported and addressed promptly, much in the same way that the one was yesterday when we had the bomb threat at the local mosque here.
Mm-hmm. So, now, when you look at that, I'm reading a book right now about that goes back to the Middle East War, and it has a Marine in it, and he says that every day brought new challenges because they had so much misinformation, and the misinformation would jump from one subject to the other and just created a lot of confusion. Do you find that is true in what you're working with today? Is your police work filled with the word probably wouldn't be misinformation, but just things to create turmoil.
Well, I think there's some part of that that happens, but I think the other part of that is that since September the 11th, 2001, we have had to get better at communicating. One of the things that the FBI was criticized for many, many years ago was it was almost like a closed society that had a lot of information, but they didn't share a lot of information. Mm-hmm. And one of the mandates that came out of post 9/11 was that there had to be a better mechanism for sharing intelligence from the federal level down to the states and the states down to the locals and vice versa. It's got to be a two-way street. And one of the things that came out of all of that, and Tennessee was a leader in it, and I got to credit the director of the TBI, Mark Gwynn, who is a Warren County native and a graduate of MTSU, David Mitchell, who was then the director of Homeland Security and the commissioner of safety. They worked diligently together to put together what has become known as the Tennessee Fusion Center. That's actually housed at the TBI, but that is a repository, if you will, of information that comes from sources all over the state that helps pass out timely and credible information, which is what you were asking about. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But it also is a conduit through which we can take information about suspicious activity that citizens report to the police, pass that back to the state level, and pass it back to the federal agency so that it gets timely investigation. And if you've got a legitimate, credible threat to national security or local security, somebody gets on that quickly and it gets dealt with quickly. So I think in response to your question, we had to get better at communicating information, and we're still working on that. We'll never be where we want to be. But then I think you have to have a way to sort out the stuff that is miscellaneous kinds of far-fetched information as opposed to what's credible, and that takes some work sometimes.
Let's go back to the phones. Good morning. You're on WGNS. How are you today?
I'm fine. This is Marty from Smyrna. I was going to ask the chief a question. On all this week on internet news and everything, they talk about all the conspiracies about the 911 and how America was involved and the government was involved, and it's a big cover-up. Why would the government not try to refute some of these and put the citizenship more at risk? That we're doing the best we can to make sure that this doesn't happen again, and that the politicians and the government and the services didn't have any involvement in it.
Well, I don't know that I can answer your question directly. I guess I will. Let me try to answer it this way. I think to the extent that the government, and that's either the federal government or the states or local governments, can tell that story as it relates to what has been done, what continues to be done, how information is shared, what kind of preparations are made, you know, from a reasonable standpoint to prepare for that. I think we want to try to do that, and we continue to try to do that. In fact, early this morning I looked at some information that our public information officer had prepared in response to some questions from the local paper about that very topic. Where I think, Marty, that line gets blurred is at what point is information usable and needed by the public to help answer questions that they may have, and at what point does that information then become a part of an investigation into domestic terrorism, any kind of criminal prosecution that may be ongoing, and where is that line that you can't cross as far as sharing information that may be involved in a prosecution somewhere down the line. And the other thing, too, is there's a lot of those situations that you just can't answer all the questions. Some of them are mm-hmm. so far-fetched you just can't answer them. There aren't any good answers for them. But I think we keep trying.
Well, I appreciate what you're saying there. My concern is when I was reading Comcast News this morning, they were talking about that I can't remember the producer's name or the director's name, Michael something, that did Fahrenheit 101. And
Moore.
It was the highest grossing documentary, you know, in the history of television or movies or whatever. And then you've got two 18-year-old boys who did another documentary, and the majority of it is hearsay without foundation, but it sounds plausible. And I don't understand. I know America and me and everybody else is attracted to, you know, the mystique and the conspiracy theories, you know, around, like around Kennedy and everything. But it seems like with what happened to America with terrorism, there would be some effort on the government's part to refute or justify their position or justify what happened. They're saying that it wasn't an airplane that hit the Pentagon. It was a guided missile. And they were saying it was a guided missile that hit some other place. And I'm going to hang up and listen to you because I get an echo on my telephone. But I just don't understand why we're not taking much more of an effort in our PR to make make the government look better in this situation. And I appreciate you coming on this morning and talking to us about this. And as usual, Bart, I always enjoy your show. You take care.
Marty, bye-bye. Thanks for calling.
Thanks for calling, Marty. I appreciate that. And as I say, I can't speak for why, you know, the federal government is not taking a different approach to some of those news stories or approaches that some of the producers may take with the pieces that they've done. I guess from the footage that I've seen, from the stories that I've read, from the intelligence reports that I've seen, I don't have any doubt that obviously it was planes that struck the trade centers, or that it was a plane that struck the Pentagon. I mean, I think you've got eyewitnesses that saw those things and that participated in those investigations. I think, Marty, it's interesting that one of the responsibilities that we have as Americans and as Americans in a democratic society is to continue to be involved in the process of gathering credible information about what goes on around us and how that relates to how we as citizens have a responsibility to maintain our own safety in our communities. And hopefully we can talk about that a little bit. It looks like Bart wants to go to a break. Now,
of course, what you're saying is exactly what police work is, yeah, gathering is good information and keeping our communities safe. Right. Let's do check on the traffic and weather. We will be back and continue the conversation. We're going back 10 years in time. What were you doing 10 years ago, on September the 11th, I'll bet you will remember that from now on. Now, when they say this is a day we will always remember, a day we'll never forget, they're right.
Broadcasting to every nook and cranny of Rutherford County's 618 square miles. FM 100.5, 101.9, and AM 1450.
Ford of Murfreesboro offers the same great service you're used to.
Hi, this is David Lee, General Manager at Ford of Murfreesboro. I've been part of the Ford family for almost 6 years now, and I invite you to come down and see our full selection of Fords, and we'll give you the best deal in town.
Same employees, same great service. Ford of Murfreesboro, online at fordofmurfreesboro.com. Stop by Ford of Murfreesboro at the intersection of Broad and Northfield.
Bell Jewelers, where quality, value, and honesty ring true.
We buy our diamonds direct from the cutters of Belgium, the diamond capital of the world. Diamonds are a symbol of your devotion, of your life together, of how far you've come.
Bell Jewelers, a cut above.
This is Greg Tidwell from Bell Jewelers, across the street from Toots in Murfreesboro. Visit us online at belljeweler.com.
Play it again, sports!
Your football headquarters.
If you play youth football, we've got the best deals in town. This is Scott with a reminder to all Mustang, Blue Raider, and City League youth football players to come in for the name brand pants, helmets, pads, and more at Play It Again Sports on North Thompson Lane.
Good morning, Rutherford County. As you make your way to work this Wednesday morning, guys, happy to report no accidents out there along your secondaries or along your interstates. However, we are starting to slow down around Old Hickory Boulevard on I-24 westbound. Now, things speed back up once you get to about Haywood Lane, but you're not going to reach 70 miles per hour again until you get into the downtown area. However, on Nashville Highway, we do see some slower traffic around Sam Davis Road. This traffic report was brought to you by the law office of Bart Durham. Justice is your right. Give him a call, 866-468-6603. With your WGNS traffic, I'm John Boyce.
Let's take a look now at the Murfreesboro weather, brought to you by First National Bank of Murfreesboro.
We have a good chance for showers across the forecast area. Cloud cover, a high temperature in the upper 60s. Another chance for showers tonight, low of 55. I'm WGNS staff meteorologist Mandy Feliber. Right now, 61.
This is Frieda Morgan at First National Bank of Murfreesboro. We still offer checking that comes with a free check card. There's no balance requirement, and you can write all the checks you need to. First National Bank of Murfreesboro, member FDIC, equal housing lender.
Family Staffing Solutions.
They've given me back a new life. There are truly people in this world that care about the elderly.
Family Staffing Solutions. Personal care assistance at its best.
This is not a high-pressure business. We want you to be very happy when you agree to do business with us.
That's Becky Buchner with Family Staffing Solutions.
When you need that help, it's there for the asking.
143 Uptown Square, 848-6774. Online at familystaffing.com.
The Die is Cast with Phil Dye, weekday mornings and afternoons, and Saturday afternoons for an hour at 12:30 on WGNS AM/FM online.
Underwater daydream, bone dry desert sand. Half them words you're singing, boy, I don't understand. My daylight to be silver.
We're back again. We're looking back 10 years. Murfreesboro Police Chief Glenn Christman's with us, Roy Fields, and LaFonda Rudd. 893-1450 is our number. Let's go back to the phones. Good morning. You're on WGNS. How are you today? Hello there.
I'm good, thank you.
Well, good. Glad you're joining us.
Oh, yes. I'd like to. Could I ask a non-9/11 question?
Yes, sir. Sure. Good morning.
Okay. I was wondering. I've heard lately. I ain't hearing as many or reading as many burglary reports lately. I was wondering, has it seemed like the burglaries have went down? Because I know they was really heavily earlier, about the first half of this year. And it seemed like lately they went down. Because I ain't not hearing as much about it as I used to.
Well, they are down. They're not down as much as we would like for them to be. The only way that'll happen is if there are zero every day. I can tell you that every morning, that one of the first things that we look at when we look at the statistics from the night before is how many burglary reports we had the day previous. They are down. I attribute that to a couple of things. I think our citizens in the communities are working hard to safeguard their homes and their property. They're reporting things to the police, and then just to be candid, we've caught a number of people that were involved in burglaries, and if you catch a number of folks that may be responsible for, you know, quite a number of incidents, you never know where that disconnect may be. So they are down. I'm cautiously optimistic about that, but we have to keep working at it because they're still occurring, I'm afraid.
Thank you for calling. 893-1450. I guess he hung up there. He didn't have another response.
Right,
there.
Right, right.
893-1450 is our number. It looks like armed robberies, though, are picking up just a bit.
We've had a few, and you know, one of the things we have to keep our eye on as we go into the fall and particularly into the holiday season is issues surrounding robberies and thefts and those kinds of things. And we'll talk more about that, as we always do, as we get toward the prime shopping season of the year. But, you know, the same advice always applies for robberies is try not to make yourself a target. If you're an individual, make sure of what you're carrying, where, how much money you have on you. You know, if you have things that people might want to attack you to try to steal from you, you want to be mindful of that and aware of that. And that presents a different set of issues, you know, during the holiday seasons. And as I said, we'll talk more about that as that time of the year moves on. But awareness and vigilance is always a big thing.
I guess an armed robber is a pretty desperate person and a very dangerous person. Roy, you have worked in that area quite a bit.
Yes, sir. The best thing you need to do is just try to do what they ask you to do. Don't make any sudden movements, anything like that, especially if you think someone's armed. Mm-hmm. Protect yourself and others.
We have a video on our website right now of an armed robbery that occurred yesterday morning in Laverne. Mm-hmm. And the whole video is there, the entire surveillance video. You watch it, and there's nobody there. Then you see a door open, and somebody walks in. and they're just sort of looking around. I guess that's what you call casing the place out, mm-hmm. To be sure nobody was there. And the guy is obviously trying not to look straight at the clerk eye to eye, mm-hmm. I guess to reduce his ability to be identified. But he eventually does and has a gun on the guy. People need to take a look at that, not only just to see if you know the person, but it's interesting to see firsthand what people act like, how they act when they're committing a crime like
right,
this.
Right, right. And, you know, people are always going to make decisions about how they respond and react to those situations. The best rule of thumb is always there's nothing they're going to steal from you in that robbery that's worth your life.
Right.
Let them have the money, let them have property, goods, whatever there is. But, you know, there are situations where people decide that they're going to respond differently, and those are individual decisions. But, you know, you have to weigh those, you know, one at a time.
Good morning. You're on WGNS. How are you today?
I'm doing good, Bart.
Good.
And Chief Christman, as always, you're doing a great job, and I want to thank you and our officers who are doing a good job. But I had a comment, and I just wanted to run it by you.
Okay.
You know,
thank you.
Do you think maybe some of our crime, some of the armed robberies that are occurring, is because of our economical situation? Because I think there was a phrase that people say, in desperate times, people do desperate things. And I was just going to run that by you, and I'm going to hang up and listen, and have a good day.
Thank you, ma'am. I appreciate it, and thank you for your kind remarks. You are exactly right. I think even as far back as 2008, when the recession really hit and jobs were scarce, money was tight, that's always when you begin to see property crimes escalate. That's when burglaries and thefts began to escalate all across the nation, and our city was no different. I think the caller is right. As times get more desperate, you do see people resorting not only to property crimes, but oftentimes personal crimes, which is what robbery is, in an effort just to try and get money, in some cases to buy food with, to pay bills with, to do whatever. Most often they're stealing money to buy drugs or other things with, but I think your caller's right. I think desperate times often bring out the worst in people, and some of that may be just a survival mode. And I think that gets us back to what we were talking about earlier is don't risk your personal health and safety and well-being over what could be just a very small monetary loss. But again, individual decision.
Since you bring up drugs, there's one drug that I thought we had sort of slipped through without being impacted too much, but it seems like it's coming back, and that's methamphetamine.
Mm-hmm.
I guess it must be very easy to make, but people are not only endangering themselves, but they're endangering people nearby, children.
Oh, absolutely. I think the urbanized areas did escape some of that early on because a lot of the meth manufacturing was pretty much a product of the rural areas because it was harder to find people that were doing it, harder to track their movements and those kinds of things. As the precursors, the things that you use to make methamphetamine, as we tighten that control down on those with legislation over the past several years, that created another way to make meth, what we call the shake and bake method.
So this is a different way to make it. So that's why it's popped up again.
That's why it's popped up again, and that's why some of the manufacturing is kind of come back. I mean, you still have regular meth labs, particularly in the rural areas, but this shake and bake method, and I don't know exactly how they do it, but it, you know, they do it with a 2-liter Coke bottle, and you see rolling meth labs in some situations, and we've encountered some here in the city, and they can be very dangerous, mm-hmm. not only, as you say, to the people that are using it and selling it, but the people that are manufacturing and people that may be in close proximity to where that process is taking place. So that's back, and one of the things that you'll be hearing even more about as the days go on is this continued issue that we have, and the legislature addressed it in the last session of the General Assembly, to deal with Molly's plant food and bath salts and those kinds of synthetic designer drugs that are hallucinogenic, much like LSD or ecstasy, those kinds of things.
How do companies manufacture things like that and then sell them in convenience stores and places like that?
Well, that's a good question, and that question still is a part of the debate. I think the Attorney General weighed in on that. Ultimately, the General Assembly weighed in on it and did outlaw all of those substances. And we've done some work here in Murfreesboro and Rutherford County on that, and there's more work that will continue to be done, because you have, unfortunately, you have these young kids, high school kids, college kids, that are ingesting this substance, and they present to the emergency room with heart rates out the roof and blood pressures out the roof and all kinds of these physiology problems or physical problems from that substance. And we've had some deaths. I don't think we've had any here, but I think we've had some in the state and had some near deaths here because of that. So we've got more education to do, and we've got more enforcement to do about that.
Is suicide still a growing problem here in this area?
I don't know that it's necessarily growing, Bart, but I'd say it's always a concern. Yesterday when we were looking at the morning roll calls during briefing, one of the questions that we asked was, because we had a long holiday weekend, and often you see a proliferation of suicides after you've had a holiday, particularly when we get into the big holidays, you know, Christmas and New Year's and those kinds of things. It occurs more than we would like, but I think that just reinforces the message that unfortunately there are a lot of folks out there that need help, and for all those helping agencies in the community, we've got a lot of wonderful people that reach out to those folks if they'll just let it know that they've got a problem and they need a little support and assistance.
Help is available.
It's available.
That is so important for people to realize that. We're going to pause, and we will be back and continue the conversation. Roy Fields is going to share some information with us. Stay with us. Much more to come here on WGNS.
In the sky. There it is. The tallest tower in Murfreesboro. This is WGNS FM, AM, and worldwide at WGNSradio.com.
Our friends, if you haven't been to Bell Furniture, you've been spending too much on your furniture and not getting the quality. Bell Furniture has the Serta Leather Sectional. Regular $10.99. They have it for $7.49. They have some beautiful chaise lounges, too. And Perry Bell wanted me to tell you that everything at Bell Furniture is made in America. Bell Furniture, 1517 the New Nashville Highway, halfway between Murfreesboro and Smyrna.
This is Sean Brown at Southeastern Tire Service, where we now offer the Michelin Promise Plan. The Michelin Promise Plan is a new offer which includes a 30-day ride guarantee, 3-year flat tire changing assistance, and a limited mileage warranty on all Michelin passenger and light truck tires, replacement and original issue. Did you know we now provide air conditioning service? Let our ASC certified technicians get your car road ready today.
Southeastern Tire Service on Broad Street across from Advance Auto.
Ford of Murfreesboro offers the same great service you're used to.
My name is Frank Bowie. I work at Ford of Murfreesboro. I work in the service department. Been working on Fords for 26 years.
Hi, this is David Lee, general manager at Ford of Murfreesboro. I've been part of the Ford family for almost 6 years now.
Hi, I'm Jim Matthews with Ford of Murfreesboro. I've been in this organization for almost 20 years now.
Online at fordofmurfreesboro.com. Stop by Ford of Murfreesboro at the intersection of Broad and Northfield.
WeatherEye.
We have a good chance for showers across the forecast area. Cloud cover, a high temperature in the upper 60s. Another chance for showers tonight, low of 55. I'm WGNS staff meteorologist Mandy Valuber. Right now, 61.
Maybe you need a new mattress. Well, you can look all you want, but you won't find anyone even close to the prices of mattresses at Bell Furniture. And these are Jameson mattresses. Listen, Perry Bell has the Jameson Marriott mattress. The one used in the hotel. If you check around, the queen-size set is $12.99, but at Bell Furniture, just $7.99. Bell Furniture, 1517 the New Nashville Highway, halfway between Murfreesboro and Smyrna.
I love baseball.
Putting the power in our lineup since 1981, it's the Atlanta Braves on WGNS, Murfreesboro.
Baseball.
sunny place. I'm lucky, I know, but I want to go home.
Welcome back. Our number is 893-1450. We're talking Law and Order this morning. 893-1450. Roy Fields, tell us a little about, we were talking about 9/11 almost 10 years ago. That has changed the way we live and changed the things that, are we more suspicious, I wonder?
I think sometimes that we are, and that's a good thing, because people have to realize they live in their neighborhoods, and because you live in your neighborhood, you know what's different. You mm-hmm. know what happens. And whenever you see something that's happening that's out of order or whatever, then that's suspicious to you. Please take note of it and report it. And that's not only true of any type of 9/11 activity, but also of burglaries or anything else that takes place, because police is a partnership, and that's with the community, as well as with, like, your radio station. I know, because just as example used earlier, you've got a video on your website of an armed robbery that occurred in Laverne. The reason why they put that out there is for people to try to recognize and bring sure. tips back in. The same thing's true of whether it's Homeland Security or burglaries or anything else that's happening suspicious in your neighborhood or in your community. We all want that feedback.
And you can look at that video and you can feel what that guy is going through. I mean, he's very concerned, obviously. You can look at the way he's reacting. But since he's armed with a pistol, right. you can also see this is a very dangerous situation.
And I think sometimes that's why armed robberies rise, or we see the rise more, is people can kind of hide any type of weapon or make it appear that they have a weapon because they're wearing larger coats or things like that. And, you know, mm-hmm. Everybody knows it's suspicious if you see somebody in a trench coat in the dead of summer. You
right.
know?
Something not...
but something that you know is out of order. And like you said, if somebody's standing back towards the back and acting suspicious, then, you know, be sure that you pull that to somebody's attention.
Let's go to the phones. Good morning. You're on WGNS with Roy Fields. How are you today?
Good morning.
Good morning.
Hi.
This is Dr. Rowland, and I'd like to thank Bart and the chief and Roy and their entire staff for the way they communicate to the public what's really going on. I think this helps not only the law enforcement area, but it also helps the public to protect us better. And I want you to know that we in Cannon County appreciate what you're all doing up in Rutherford County, both in the Sheriff's Department and the Police Department. And at WGNS, thanks a lot. Bye.
Thank you, Dr. Riddle. Some people... Everybody in Cannon County, I think, knows Dr. Rowland.
Absolutely.
he's been
a great person.
He is. He's been a friend of law enforcement longer than I can remember. I tell you, I've gathered a lot of knowledge from him, and he shares that knowledge with the community, which is what really makes it work, too.
Thank you for all that you do. Good morning. You're on WGNS. How are you today?
Just fine. You?
Doing fine. Thank you.
I was just thinking that if all the, like, the restaurants and... motels even would have a TV screen showing different things like this, is robberies and stuff flashing across the screen, just going across the screen, different things that's happening, looking for these people around in these areas where they're doing this at.
Mm-hmm.
And it might help slow them down some and help catch a bunch of them. And so I just was wondering if they had thought about working on something like that right there to maybe hit some of this crime and stuff.
We try to always get as many partners as we can involved. I don't know as we've had many people inquire about getting information like armed robberies and things like that other than the media outlets, because of course that's instantaneous. It gets you out there to where people can respond and give you that information back as quickly as possible, to where sometimes if you did it in motels or restaurants and stuff, it's not you might get it back, but they may continue to play it even after that robbery has been solved or something, too. So, but you want to don't want to get too complacent so that people will still recognize what information you need when you need it.
And the quality of the pictures varies dramatically.
It does, because it varies with where the robbery occurred and how updated their equipment is and how you try to gather that information.
Now, the picture of this video surveillance that we have on our website, it's pretty clear. but I have seen some that you'd have to really use your imagination to figure out who that is.
Right, we don't have the same pixelization that CSI does on TV.
That's a whole different world, isn't it? And people that has to fit into a 1 hour time frame, from the beginning to the end, and that includes the court case.
You know, I tell people often it's real good to watch, and I even enjoy those shows myself. But the reality is we may have one detective who's working as many as 30 cases at one time. So,
right,
you can't just stay with one the entire time.
Did that answer your question?
Yeah, I appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thanks for calling. Thank you. Have a great day. Bye-bye. 893-1450 is our number. And if you have any questions dealing with law and order, or if you have a memory about 9/11, be sure and call and share with us.
Bart, let me comment. Since Dr. Ruland called in, we talked to different communities, and as we go and travel, go to different schools and try to broaden our knowledge, it amazes people with the amount of collaboration that we have between departments and the community here. It just Murfreesboro, Rutherford County, Cannon County is just a wonderful place for people to get involved and try to help each other. That helps in so many ways, and it helps us where we all work together and solve those things a lot better.
Everybody just seems to work together as a team, not only the different agencies, and I mean not limited strictly to law enforcement, but fire agencies, and they have their investigating staff, Rutherford County Emergency Management Service. They all work together, but equally well, those teams work with individual citizens.
They do. They do very much so.
And that, in fact, we've had so many examples of that, people who have dogs that do certain things, or horses and things of that sort. Or people just who want to volunteer to go out and search for somebody who's missing.
And that's what makes Rutherford County, Murfreesboro, and the area such a good place to live and work, because nobody's worried about who gets the credit.
Mm-hmm.
It's about all the community pulling together. And I know the Sheriff's Office, TBI, THP, all the law enforcement agencies in this area, just nobody worries about who gets the credit. You just go out and do the things that need to be done.
And, of course, that will be seen very clearly this Friday morning at 10 o'clock on the Murfreesboro Square with the 9/11 commemoration. Now, that is sponsored by the Murfreesboro Fire Department, but I guarantee you, you're going to see all of the agencies working together on that. And then again on 9/11 itself on Sunday from 1 to 5. And this particular one, not only because it's the 10th anniversary, but it's made even more meaningful because we are one of the very few communities in the nation that was given a large piece of Twin Tower number 2, as a matter of fact.
Yes, and I applaud everyone's effort that was involved in that. I don't know who it was, but I do know it took a lot of effort to get that done, and to erect that memorial over to the Sheriff's Department is just tremendous for the community. I tell you, your heart bleeds red, white, and blue, because it is definitely USA, and gives you that pride that comes out.
And it's you know, for somebody who's thinking, well, I didn't want my tax dollars to do that, it's not tax dollars.
No.
People, they're buying bricks, they're making donations of money, it's the public reacting, making that become a reality.
Well, it gives everybody that as I tried to say, probably inadequately, gives you that sense of pride of the United States and of your community to be able to donate to that and know that you're taking pride in your community and in your country.
And I think that the people who are against America and those people who were flying the planes into the buildings,
right,
were definitely against America. I think they did not realize, and I think a lot of people who are here from different countries don't realize the feelings that Americans have for this country, for this way of life. And you can't change that. I mean, that is deep in the hearts of the people, and they will come back strong and protect,
yes,
the freedoms.
Pull together. That's what it's all about.
893-1450 is our phone number. We're talking about 9/11, This is the week that we commemorate that tragic event, an event that we really felt would never happen here. We, you know, not since the Civil War have we had a war on our own soil. No. That was a war.
And as we look at the Twin Towers as they fell and stuff, the stories that come out of that of the firefighters, the police officers, and just citizens helping each other who should have known or probably did know that they were putting themselves in danger in order to help others.
And I keep remembering a story of a lady here in Murfreesboro whose son was in the Twin Towers when that happened. And this just goes to show you how our world and how communications works. He called his mother. He was in a restaurant there on the first floor of the Twin Towers. And he called his mother here in Murfreesboro and said, "I'm not sure what's happening here, but there are fire trucks all around." And he was sitting there eating breakfast. And I guess it took a while for things to dramatically change. And she had been watching it on TV, and she said, "I'll tell you what's going on. And you need to get out of there."
Right.
And he did, and he's safe.
That's
but just one of those strange, strange stories, and there are many of them.
There are 1,001 stories, but I tell you, the people that sacrificed their lives to help others, nothing can be said or done to appreciate what all their involvement is.
Very definitely. Roy, thank you for joining us today. Glenn Chrisman, he was here today. Also, LaFonda Rudd, the new administrative assistant with the police department here. Everybody's been here today. It's been fun. And we'll see all of you on Friday morning at 10 o'clock on the Murfreesboro Square, Friday morning at 10. And then again Sunday afternoon from 1 to 5 at the Rutherford County Sheriff's Office at 940 New Salem Highway. Hope all of you have a super rest of the day. Roy, take care of yourself.
Thank you, Bart, as always.
Lost his wife. Lost his baby. Broke down and asked him one time, "How you keep from going crazy?" He said, "I see my wife and son in just a little while."